This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. 27% of drivers between ages 16 and 65 admit to Facebooking when they drive. 14% use Twitter, and 30% of those folks admit they tweet all the time while driving. That comes from a new survey from AT&T. Drivers also admit they surf the web, they use Instagram, they take selfies. So it is way more than just texting and driving. We hear the danger warnings and we supposedly get it. So why do we persist in doing it, in courting injury or worse? A new study from the University of Michigan looks into what's going on. Joseph Bayer is a doctoral candidate in communications at Michigan and co-author of this study. What question were you trying to answer with this study?
Why? Why people continue to do this despite knowing how dangerous it is and reporting in many surveys and studies that they already know how risky it is. Yeah. And so we put together a couple different strands of research. And they were all lined up and integrated in one way, which is a focus on consciousness. Our big argument is that people aren't even aware how much or how often they're doing it and how long their mind is attending to this behavior. So really, this is a cognitive bias argument. It's that people think they know when they're in control, but they actually don't.
Which explains, we were just talking about this yesterday, how often you're driving along the freeway and you see somebody tooling along the lane next to you with their head down, and you know what's going on. And sometimes you see them flipping through the phone, and you want to strangle them. So what is this kind of weird thing that happens in our heads?
We pulled together a couple of different lines of research. One of them is mindfulness. Now, you may have heard about mindfulness. It's a personality trait that some people focus more on the now, on the present moment awareness. And what this allows you to do over the long term is actually be happier, and it's correlated with lots of positive well-being outcomes. It's also positively correlated with attending to the behavior you're at. The real idea of mindfulness is being in the moment. When you're in the moment, you're more aware of your surroundings. But some people tend to be very mindless. So we find that mindlessness, the opposite of mindfulness, is actually a strong predictor of texting while driving. That's one line. Another one is self-control. We toss around the term self-control a lot, another personality trait correlated with many forms of well-being. And self-control refers to being able to control your impulses in the moment. In that moment where you're split between a short-term temptation like a brownie and a long-term goal like diet, can you overcome that emotional reward? That's self-control. We find that that's another strong predictor.
And we get that emotional reward. We're like little rats in a tea maze running for the Rice Krispie, aren't we? When we hear that ping of a text or an email, we almost can't not look.
And that's the third dimension that you're bringing in right now, the automatic cognition side. As we develop our minds in line with these devices, they change how our minds work. And just like rats, we learn to have certain cues, certain automatic triggers that prompt our behavior without us even really realizing it. We have a whole range of triggers or cues, cognitive cues is the term that we typically use, that prompt our behavior. And we don't know what they are a lot of times. And we also don't know what happens all the time after that cue hits. Right after it hits, then the habit starts, right? Once the habit train starts moving, we can't really stop it. The other element that we've brought into, not in this study that was just published, but in another one that's in press right now, is the relationship between that automatic form of cognition and immersive form of cognition. You may hear people talk about immersion, the idea, and you even mentioned it before, of people being in the vehicle and being lost in their devices. Now, we've had research on immersion in communications for decades, but typically that was immersion in things like video games, movies.
TV, yeah.
Well, there's a problem when all of that stuff goes mobile, in that now we're bringing this one form of cognition we thought was for a very long, sustained period and connecting it to those little moments during the course of the day. When you combine that automatic cognition with the immersive cognition, you get some interesting consequences, one of which is a loss of time perception. So not only are you triggered in at a moment, you may not be aware of it, but you're then immersed. And when you're immersed, you lose time perception. You don't know how long you're in it. Here are the two cognitive biases that come together and can sort of explain why we see this keep happening, despite people knowing when you ask them straight up, is it dangerous?
So you see people walking along the street and being unaware. And we've all seen videos on the internet. Somebody will get somebody falling into a fountain, and that's funny. But many times
it is
not funny because awful things can happen.
Exactly.
So this behavior, automaticity?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what in social psychology, we use a framework called automaticity to understand how a lot of our behavior and thinking occurs without any real awareness. Now, with the advent of new technologies, mobile devices, smartphones, Google Glass, all of these automatic cognitive processes are extended and advanced in a way that we're still understanding, but we see one unintended outcome occur in the vehicle. And this isn't to say that all the automatic is bad. Yeah. Of course, this is how we get by in everyday life. If you had to think about brushing your teeth every day, you'd never get it done. But when we see these processes intersect at certain corners of life, then we're faced with the dilemma. How do we deal with the fact that we have these really cool processes that make things easier but are uncontrollable at times?
So what do you think the answer is? I mean, we want to, let's say, yes, we do understand that it's dangerous to be texting. How do you suggest we work on this automaticity that we experience? What do you do?
Well, there are ways to retrain yourself. And a lot of it starts with being able to identify your cues and notice what is your trigger for a given behavior. One of the obvious ones for driving, I think, is boredom. People get to a stoplight. They've got a couple seconds. They don't know what to do. In this day and age, we've trained our minds to when that mental state of boredom hits, bam, we're in.
Let's check Facebook.
Time to check Facebook.
Yeah.
But the issue is we don't know how long we're going to be in there. Being able to recognize that when you get to the stoplight, boredom is going to hit ahead of time, you can start to retrain yourself and sort of rewire those automatic processes before they even hit. That's a psychological strategy. Is that the best
way? What do I do, though? How do I retrain myself?
The simplest way, and oftentimes the simplest is the best way to do, is a strategy called implementation intentions. This is where you come up with a strategy ahead of time where you say, if this cue occurs, then I'm going to do this instead. So maybe instead of reaching for your phone when you're bored, you say, when I'm bored, I'm going to change the radio station.
There you go. Something new for your brain to chew
on. Not for your show, obviously.
No, but understood.
Yeah. But other
yeah.
music, yeah.
Sure. So give yourself something new. And I would also suspect some good way to kind of make yourself go cold turkey is to either turn off the phone or, if you feel like you need to be contacted, at least mute the dings and the bells and
yeah,
the things that tell us to look.
The bells. I think the issue, though, partly is that this device is so interwoven into life and even driving, right? Because people use their GPS.
Yeah.
They may be trying to call somebody if they're waiting to pick them up. A lot of the strategies that say turn off the phone, I think people are like, well, I'm not going to do that.
Exactly.
And a lot of the ad campaigns we see, like AT&T's It Can Wait, I think it's great in raising awareness. But none of this is actually dealing with the psychological mechanisms.
Has the research you've done for this study, Joe, has it changed how you think of using your phone?
Oh, I'm definitely more aware of – I'm thinking about what are the cognitive mechanisms that are underlying my behavior. Because it's true. This stuff becomes so mundane that we don't even think about it. But part of the job of doing research on it is being able to pull out of the shell that we all live in during everyday life and think about what's really going on, not just saying, I can't believe how stupid those people are for texting while driving. Because it's easy to call people stupid, but it's a lot harder to understand why they're being stupid.
Yeah. And it is interesting how studies often find that individuals will say, of course you shouldn't text and drive, but I can handle it.
Yeah.
Somehow. That's what you're saying when you pick your phone up. You're saying, but I'm different.
Exactly. And so we call this the third person effect. Mm. Everybody thinks that it affects other people, but not them. There are a range of cognitive biases. It's part of what we're revealing here is the automatic cognition and the immersive cognition. Aside from that is these ideas, including the third person effect, and cognitive dissonance is a popular one now, where so once we've done the behavior, we overrate how safe it was when we did it. So in addition to not realizing when we do it and how long we're there, once we've put the phone away, we say, no, must have been safe.
Yep, did it. I'll do it again.
Yep.
Really, really interesting. Where can people find this study to read more?
This is published in Mobile Media and Communication. We have another article coming out in Human Communication Research. And there's also an article I did a couple years ago that first proposed the automatic side called Texting While Driving on Automatic, and that's in Computers and Human Behavior.
Certainly worth reading and then looking in the mirror. Joe Baer, co-author of the study on dangerous texting behaviors, and that study done by the University of Michigan School of Communications. Thanks so much, Joe.
Thank you.